What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, the New York Yankees have won the last game at Yankee Stadium on September 21st, 2008.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
So, the Padres get close to finalizing another extension with Manny Machado, reportedly 11-year, $350 million contract extension, and you'd expect that would get done. Machado said earlier in the week or last week now that he was going to opt out, and it created at least feel around here like, okay, the Mets are going to be in on Machado as they would have been on Machado. So think about this. The fact that the Padres know, and it's not just the Padres, it's everybody. They know that Steve Cohen is looming. They know they better operate in a way where they don't want Machado to hit the open market. Now, Machado got such a deal that he's going to forego, the ability to test the open market at the end of the year. Why not if you're him? He probably likes it in San Diego. I'm sure you love living out there. What's not to like about San Diego? But just being a Padre and getting the, 11-year, $350 million extension on top of, the deal that he had prior to now opting out. It's a win-win for Machado. Can't beat that. But there's no doubt Steve Cohen has an impact on the Padres and that Machado deal. And it's not good for other owners, but it's great for the players knowing that Steve Cohen and the Mets are going to be in on any top player if they hit the open market. I mean, think about that. There's no doubt that they were scared, at least, because a lot of times you could be sitting there as another team thinking, okay, well, who's going to outbid us for this player, in this case Machado? Who's going to outbid us? The Yankees, they didn't want him in the first place. You think the Yankees are going to go want Machado now? That's a possibility, but not really. And the reason why I bring up the Yankees first, of course, is because they're the Yankees, and they always used to be in on everybody. In fact, the Yankees didn't get Machado the first go-round was surprising. But, if you're the Padres, you don't want to have an opportunity where Machado could be wooed by the Yankees or the Dodgers or whoever else, but specifically Steve Cohen and the Mets. And last week, it was the first thing that people were talking about around here. We did a segment on Baseball Night in New York on SNY on it where, Machado said he's going to opt out, and SNY's MLB insider Andy Martino said, Machado to the Mets. Not that it was going to happen, but that they are going to be in on him, assuming he gets to free agency. And maybe that was enough to scare the daylights out of the Padres to a point where they say, hey, Manny, we don't want you to hit free agency. You're right. Opt out. We're going to give you a lot more. And think about it. He opted out of a contract, the final 5 years, that would have paid him $150 million. And he now got $350 million. Now, they added 6 years on top of that, but Machado, at the age of 30, made the right move to A, have an opt-out in his contract, and then B, clearly opting out. And great for him. The Mets, it's not like the Mets were in desperate need of Manny Machado anyway. It just would have been fun to talk about. My reaction to that was that, they'll either get the Mets in free agency next year, would have either gotten Machado or Ohtani. Well, now it's got to be all about Ohtani. Unless somehow the Angels lock him up, which I don't think will be the similar case that you saw here with the Padres and Machado. let's assume Ohtani does hit the open market. I've said this many times before. I don't know that Ohtani's going to choose the East Coast. I have no idea which way he's going to go. He could want to stay out west. He could want to go to the Dodgers or the Giants. He maybe wants to play for the Pinstripes. Maybe he wants to be a Yankee. That was, you know, something. If he is going to come to the East Coast, maybe he wants to be a New York Yankee. You know the Yankees will be in on Ohtani. But I do know this. Nobody is going to outbid Steve Cohen for Ohtani. So if Ohtani is open to the East Coast and wants the most money, I think he's going to be a Met next year. Now, there's a long way to go until then. He's clearly not going to get traded in season. The Mets aren't doing that. And, you know, look, you see some of these young guys with the Mets. Yeah, obviously, with Machado now being a Padre long-term, that takes third base off the table. So the Mets, you know, the more focus goes on Brett Beatty now being the long-term answer. I know Beatty had a nice weekend, homering in at least his first game. I'm not sure if it was his first at bat. I forget. But anyway, it doesn't mean anything. Just the idea that people are excited about Brett Beatty and the possibility of him being the third baseman of the future. And now that possibility became a little more realistic. You can't pay everybody a ton of money. So the Mets are, much like the Yankees are doing now at shortstop with Peraza or Volpe, who also had a good showing, Volpe, you know, this weekend. You have to have some young guys on your team because you can't pay everybody the way that you're paying Judge or Stanton or Lindor or Scherzer or Verlander. Obviously, you have to have young guys contribute. So maybe for the Mets, Beatty could be that guy, whether it's this year or next year. And I do think the Mets ultimately this year, to have the success that they want, need Beatty or Alvarez, if not both. One of those two guys have to have an impact. You know, at some point, the difference for the Mets and Yankees, although the Yankees have disappointed as well in this regard, you know, Gary Sanchez and Clint Frazier and Andujar, even Glaber to a certain extent. You know, and now this is going to be, oh no, this will be the year Glaber's going to have a big year. We said that with Gary Sanchez and look what happened. The Yankees have disappointed with having these highly touted prospects pan out to the level. You go back to Greg Bird, whatever. The highly touted prospects pan out. They hype them up, but they haven't necessarily had that impact that they were supposed to. With the Mets, I mean, they either haven't had the guys pan out, Amed Rosario, or given them enough opportunity, Andrés Giménez. Now, Alonso wasn't as highly touted, but the power was always talked about. And clearly he's been, you know, more than they could have asked for. McNeil was another one who the Mets didn't even want to bring up. Held him down forever. Thought he was a borderline major leaguer. And got won a batting title last year. Shows you what they knew. You know, the Mets have not only had an issue with developing their young star players and getting them to have an impact, they've had a problem identifying which ones are good, which ones aren't. And hopefully that's something now that gets cleaned up and has been cleaned up over the last couple of years. But it's also why they're not looking to trade any of their prospects, whether it's Ronnie Mauricio, whether it is whoever, Vientos, Beatty, Alvarez, you know, some of the bigger names you know aren't going to go anywhere. But maybe the other guys, they can find a role for. They have to, because they can't just keep everybody. You either got to trade them or keep them. But they got to make sure they trade the right ones, keep the right ones, and develop the players that they keep. That is something that has been lacking with their franchise. And it's got to change for them to have that next level success that Steve Cohen keeps talking about, the sustainable success of a franchise, not just going out there buying all the players. You have to draft well and develop well. And then if you complement that with being able to go out there and spend, that's how the Mets can really do their damage. Similar to what you saw from the Dodgers or what you've seen from the Dodgers. You know, the Yankees, like we said, to an extent, although I do feel like the Yankees overhyped their prospects and haven't gotten enough back in return or haven't gotten the productivity that you would expect from them. Glaber right now is a clear one guy who would, you know, fit that mold. Obviously, you know, Judge was a guy. Judge, I remember when he came up, there were scouts saying, oh, he's going to strike out too much. Think of Dave Kingman. So I don't know if it was the Yankees who were wrong on Judge or just the scouts were wrong on Judge. But obviously the Yankees drafted him, developed him. I mean, he's, if not the best player, he's one of the best players in baseball. So you give him credit for that. But, you know, all the hype with Gary Sanchez and rotting him into the ground, you know, like we mentioned with Glaber, those are probably the two biggest ones. Clint Frazier, just total bust. But now with Peraza, with Volpe, there's going to be more expectation on the younger guys. And it's funny, with all the money that the Mets and Yankees have spent, with all the veteran players that the Mets and Yankees have, you know, with bringing back Aaron Judge and Rizzo, bringing in Rodon for the Mets, bringing in Verlander, you know, shoring up their bullpen, bringing back Brandon Nimmo. You know, a lot of the success for these clubs hinges on the younger players. May not be right out of the gate, especially for the Mets, because I do think the Yankees are going to have at least Peraza be their starting shortstop on opening day. They may get to a point eventually where they need Volpe for whatever position, second, third, short, who knows. But at least initially, it seems like Peraza is going to be the one guy for the Yanks at short, or at least one of them. If it's not Peraza, it's going to be Volpe. Now you're talking about starting shortstop. That's a big deal. For the Mets, it doesn't seem or doesn't sound like Alvarez or Beatty are even going to be on their opening day roster. But so initially, it looks like the Yankees are going to need more of that impact. But I do think long term, the Mets will need more productivity from Alvarez or Beatty because their lineup just is not as good. That's why they need one of those guys. They didn't get Correa. They didn't get that big bat that they were missing in the offseason. You could talk about Marte, you know, coming back healthy, and we'll have to see. Or, you know, they get Narvaez, get rid of McCann, so you hope that that upgrades at least a little bit at catcher. Is that significant enough? Who knows? Escobar looking to have a bounce back year. Is that going to be enough? Who knows? Ultimately, though, I do think for the Mets offense to get to the next level, which they're going to have to get to, if they want to go out there and compete and win a World Series, compete for and win a World Series, they're going to have to get to that next level. And for that to happen, if they're going to be reluctant to trade for a star, and I think that they will make a move if the right move is out there at the deadline, but if they're reluctant to trade for a big star, especially, they're going to have Alvarez and or Beatty. And look, they might need Alvarez and Beatty, or they might need Alvarez and or Beatty and somebody else. Maybe it is a piece that they get at the trade deadline. In all likelihood, you would think the Mets are going to need another outfielder. At some point along the way, they're likely going to need an impact bat in the outfield that replaces Canna slash Pham, or potentially an injured Marte or Nimmo. They're just one bat thin going in to the season in the outfield. And if things happen, it'll be even worse, obviously, in season form. So I think the Mets and Yankees, to a certain extent, relying on some young stars to develop. And usually that's what you need, a nice mix. Veterans, proven guys, and one or two young players to come up and have an impact. And then probably one or two guys to exceed expectations. That's generally how you end up having a year where you win, you know, the division or win over 100 games. You need things to go as planned and maybe, you know, the things that you expect to happen for the better, whether it's Verlander, Scherzer, Cole, Rodon, whatever. Like, you need those, Judge, Alonso, you need those things to happen as planned. And then have a player or two exceed expectations and also probably have a young guy come up and have an impact as well. 877-337-6666.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
get the discussion started. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Salicata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Nice to see some calls up on the board. And of course, a familiar name, Stuart in Brooklyn, starts us off this hour. Stuart, how are you?
Sal, you wanted Machado for the Mets. I wanted him in the Bronx.
No, he's staying in San Diego.
Unfortunately. Well, you know what? I thought he was going to sign with the Yankees back then when the first time we went out. But I guess I was wrong.
You know what, Stuart? Me too. I thought with certainty. I remember saying on SNY all the time, I wasn't at the Fan at the time, I don't think. Might have been with OR, but I forget the exact year. But I remember with certainty feeling like Machado was going to happen. They loved the player. They had a need at the position. And they're the Yankees. And really, that was the first time that the Yankees...
Was not George. Correct.
That was the first time where it was like, wow, the Yankees didn't go out there and get a superstar player that we all assumed that they wanted.
Bryce
they could come
Harper,
up with whatever excuse. What?
What about Bryce Harper?
I think Harper was after that, if I'm not mistaken. Was that the same? I got to look
I
at the timeline.
Wasn't Harper 16?
I'll look. I'll try to check it. Or maybe Manny can look it up while I look up one of them here. But I thought Harper was after Machado.
Yeah, he was. But I think Harper was either... Yeah, it was 16, Harper was. Harper went in 16 or 17, whatever. And he missed out
on it was both the same year? It was both 2019? Yeah, but thank you, Manny. It was both the same year as Manny tells us. And then what happened, though, was...
What year was it? I mean, 19, 20, Harper
2019.
Was Harper wasn't with the Nationals in 19, remember? He was gone already. He was not on that championship team. He was not.
Right, but you're talking about the season before, the off season before that year is what we're talking about.
The
18 was his final season with the Nationals.
Yeah, so he went...
Right, so the 2019 off season. So remember, he signed in...
2019... He was not with the Nationals. So how could he be there?
Right. No, I know that. That's what we're saying. He signed in 2019 as a free agent. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
So the 2019 offseason.
With the Phillies.
Right, but remember, the Yankees made it clear, because Bryce Harper, you know, his father growing up, his favorite player was Mickey Mantle. Harper, his swing, lefty bat, Yankee Stadium. We all thought it was a perfect fit. The Yankees made it very clear that was not their guy. They were not going to be in on him. Now, remember, they got Stanton the year before, and that was kind of their decision. But we thought, at least I thought, Machado for
Machado
sure.
Machado was going to be there.
Yes.
He was going to be there, too. But do we need third base help? Yes, we do. Desperately. I keep on telling you, I want Hicks, Donaldson, and Glaber gone so we can make some moves and get better.
Well, what would you do? I mean, Hicks, whatever. I understand why that's the case. Donaldson, same thing. But what would you do if you get all three of them out? And Glaber specifically. Why don't you want to take a chance on Glaber? You want Volpe up there?
I want Volpe in second.
And so you want Peraza, Volpe, and who do you want playing third? LeMahieu?
Mm-hmm. DJ and with Cabrera and IKF as the backups.
Okay, and then who
do
you want in left
field? IKF won a gold glove, not last year, but the year before. He won a gold glove at third base. So he's a better third baseman, shortstop.
Okay, you could have him back up. That's fine. Cabrera you could have as a utility guy. Who do you want in left field?
Well, combination. I would like to see Cabrera out in left field and Stanton for 2 or 3 days a week, because Stanton's a better hitter when he's locked in.
I actually can't argue that.
But you know what I've been hearing from somebody that I know? I've been hearing Judge in left and Stanton in right.
Well, who's telling you this?
Taylor in center.
Who's telling you this?
Harlan, my friend.
Well, okay. Well, Harlan is obviously either reading or listening to the information that was out there.
He went in for a surgery recently, triple hernia.
Oh.
And guess who sent them a get well message?
You did?
No, Aaron Boone.
Oh, you know, how does Harlan know Aaron Boone?
He knew Frank Howard. He knew all the guys from back then and his wife.
What kind of message? Like, are we talking about a text message? Are we talking about a call, a voicemail? What are we looking at here?
A voicemail.
That's very nice of Aaron
Boone. And a FaceTime. Facebook.
He FaceTimed with him?
Yeah. He FaceTimed a message sent to Harlan.
Does that change your opinion on Aaron Boone?
No, but that was very nice of Aaron Boone.
Yes, I think you said that perfectly.
It was very nice of Aaron Boone. Good for
very
him.
Nice.
I mean, I don't hate Aaron Boone as a human being. I just don't particularly.
Well, but you did say, was it Boone or Cashman? You did say you'd like to punt their head through the goalposts.
Never said the goalpost.
Oh, what did you say? I thought you said you want to punt. I'm pretty sure you did. What would you want to punt their head through, if not the goalpost? Oh.
No. I never said I wanted to punch them through a goalpost. Punt.
You said you wanted to kick
Cashman.
Oh, it was Cashman, not Aaron Boone. I'm sorry. I was mistaken.
No, not Aaron Boone. No.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. So Boone you're okay with, but Cashman, you wanted to kick his head through the field goal post. The upper.
Well, no, punt at 98 yards like O'Neal did.
Oh, okay.
You remember O'Neal from the Jets?
No, I do not.
Okay. Let's say this much. I would say that...
How was your weekend, Stuart? What did you do this weekend? Any big plans?
I was out in Long Island. In
Manhattan. Oh, you should have come sit alone.
No, I wasn't that far out. I was in Manhattan.
What did you do on Long Island?
Oh, I went to the Apple Store on Northern Boulevard.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
had a learning session.
How'd that go? Maybe you could teach me one day, because I need a learning session. I don't know how to use half this stuff on my computer. I basically turn it on. I know how to hit the old Google machine. I still use Safari. I know the email, the calendar. That's about it. I don't use any of this stuff.
Oh, you want to learn?
Yeah, can you teach me how to record music? I want to record a rap song that I have written.
What do you have? What kind of an app do you have to record that?
Oh, I thought, isn't there like, some kind of music thing? Yeah, Rock Band, right.
It's called Garage.
Rock Garage or something.
Garage Band.
Garage Band, there you go, I got it mixed up.
That's where you could record the music.
Now, do you know how to do that?
Yep.
You do, huh? You could be my producer.
I know how to do that. Why? I record my stuff.
Oh, what stuff do you record? You sing or you rap?
No, I don't rap.
Oh, what do you record?
I record something. I record like a certain beat and a certain tone.
Okay.
Like an instrumental.
Yeah. Stuart, you're going to make my beat. You can make the beat. I'll write the lyrics and perform it. Actually, we can perform together if you want. How about that?
That would be all right.
So do you ever get on the mic or no? You're just making beats. What's going on?
Just make beats. I like it.
You got to send me some samples.
I just listen to music where basically I listen to Whitney Houston, Elvis Presley, and of course, the Fab Four.
Did you see the Elvis movie?
No, I didn't see it yet.
You got to see it. Come on. What's going on here?
Did you see Rocket Man?
I did see Rocket Man.
Did you see Yesterday?
No, what happened yesterday?
No, Yesterday, the movie.
Oh, no, I didn't.
The Beatles.
I did not. I did
Look,
not see
I'm answer. Into the music. I'm not into... I knew what Elton John did. I knew what the Beatles did. What do you think killed George Harrison? His stuff with acid and all the drugs that they did.
Oh, well, now we're going down a dark path. Did you see the... what's the
Saturday
one with the Queen?
Was George Harrison's 80th birthday.
Oh. But he's dead, right?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, so it's not really his birthday.
Sad day in my life. He was my favorite Beatle.
Sorry to hear that. You know, you have a lot of favorites, and obviously as the older they get, the more of them die. Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, I didn't see that. I heard that was...
Oh, that was a great one, too. You got to watch the Elvis movie, though.
What?
You got to watch the Elvis movie. It was good.
Okay, I'll try to catch it.
Thank you, Stuart.
Did you see Brady for 80?
No, did you?
Not yet.
You know, you're going to see that? My mother saw it, and she actually liked it. But she liked it, but I mean, I can't go see that movie.
Like I said,
zero interest.
I had three favorite Patriots. Uncle Bo.
You're a Patriots fan?
No, I had three favorite Patriots.
Who?
Uncle Bo,
mm-hmm.
Gronk, and TB12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. You like all the stars. The last one I'm going to ask you, because I did see this movie over the weekend. You ever see The Whale?
No.
You have any interest? Do you know what it's about?
No, I don't have any interest.
Okay. You know what it's about, though?
No. What's it about?
Well, it's about a guy who has some difficult things happen to him in life and then kind of eats his way into depression where he becomes immobile.
Well, I never ate my way into depression or becoming immobile, but I went up to 311 pounds.
Yeah, I think he was a lot bigger than that. You may want to check it out. Thank you for the call, Stuart. As always, good to hear from you. It was actually, Manny, have you seen this movie, The Whale? I know you don't really watch movies, you just play video games, but have you seen The Whale?
No, I did not.
Do you know what it's about? Or have you, like, seen, like,
apparently it's about a 300-pound man who...
Well, more than that. But Brendan Fraser, I guess, makes his comeback in this movie. He was pretty good. The movie itself was whatever. But the selling point to the movie was supposed to be Fraser's performance in it, where I thought he was good. But, I don't know, man. It was a tough movie to watch. It wasn't awful. Wasn't great. But it was, at times, just, you know, for lack of a better word, it was actually just disgusting. It was difficult to watch. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning, man. Come on, man. We're supposed to be friends. You can't do this to me. How am I supposed to fondle that with Stuart? First of all, I have to gather myself from all the laughing that I'm doing. And then I got to follow up this greatness. But I'm going to just try. You know, I'm just going to talk sports, of course. And I wanted to touch on three things, if I may, Sam, and then we could go back and forth. But I'll just give you my thoughts. I haven't really gotten how you feel about all of them, but I heard you mention all of them. First thing is Machado. I, for one, had no interest really in talking about next offseason when it came to the Mets because I'm really focused on this offseason. But I didn't think Machado was like a foregone conclusion, like, oh, yeah, he's coming to the Mets. And I kind of disagree with what you said, that it's, you know, the Padres did what they did because they feel pressure from Cohen, because I think the Padres have shown in the last few years that they're willing to go out there and spend money. You know what I mean? They've been in play for a lot of these players that nobody would think that they would be in play for. They try to go out there and offer contracts. They try to go get Aaron Judge this offseason. So I felt like Machado was always coming back to the Padres, because why would they let him go? You know what I mean? The guy's been great for them. And maybe, I felt like he would want to come back there.
Maybe, but you don't think that there's at least a part of them that knows, hey, we can't let him get to the open market. We better act accordingly. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, the Padres are going to be in on him, as they would have had he been a free agent. But maybe they were a little more aggressive in locking him up prior to the year, knowing that the possibility of getting into a bidding war with Steve Cohen might have been looming.
I don't know, sir. Like I said, I'm not sure I can go there, because I feel like, okay. I mean, they were trying to bring him back. They have spent that money, and I just feel like, I mean, yeah, I can't deny that. I cannot deny that existed in their mind, I'm sure. But I just don't think that really, like, pushed them as much as maybe you're trying to make it out to be. I mean, just my opinion. Just seeing how they've been operating, seeing how successful he's been there. Like, why would you even? No, you shouldn't want to let him go to free agency, not because of the Mets. Just because of anyone. Like, you should want to keep that player. And me personally, right, I like to see that in baseball. I know it's, and I'm being hypocritical, because I still want them to go after Juan Soto if he ever becomes a free agent, right? Talking about the Mets, and I'm here talking about, I want to talk about future offseasons. But I do hold out hope for that guy, for whatever reason. So, you know, I'm a little, that's my guy, that's who I like. So I guess I'm being a little hypocritical when it comes to that. But I guess in this situation, I always felt like, you know what, I'm not sure how realistic this is. I think he's going to want to go back there, and I think they're going to be more than willing to bring him back. And that's
understood.
How we've seen play.
Yeah, that's fine. And I, And I don't think it's a bad day for the Mets or anything like that. It takes away the excitement. It takes away the possibility. It's over. That's it. He's extended with the
Padres. But I'm also not going to know where you're going right away. You know, Ohtani and that's
the, like, well, we've been there before, though. We were talking about Ohtani before, and I think that that's going to be, look, Shohei Ohtani, one way or another, Hector, until he gets locked up in season, if that does happen, he's going to be a major talking point all year long. Not just here, but nationally. Yeah, the story of Shohei Ohtani, whether he gets traded, where he's going to go in free agency, that's going to be the biggest storyline in baseball.
Yes. I guess I'm like, as much as, you know, how disappointed and you know, I'm complaining I've done throughout the whole season, I'm at the point now that I'm excited for this team for various reasons. And I'm more about this season and trying to accomplish the goal of winning a World Series. Not that I have anything to do with it, but that's my goal.
You know, we were there together, Hector. We were there together to watch the thing end. We were there side by side.
Yeah.
And on the third base side. No, I want to go there because I want to go there because you want to feel the pain. We were there to watch it come crashing down. We knew it was over. They were getting spanked by the Padres. You and I and some other people were there watching the Mets season go down to the San Diego Padres, and now we're on the verge of starting a new season back up again. And it's going to be a lot to get back to that point where they were at in the postseason, winning 101 games. It's a long road back there, Hector.
It sure is. It sure is. But I think it's going to be fun, and I'm here for it. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. But I do want to, excuse me, if I may, touch real quick. And I do want to touch on the rules, but I got to, because we have spoken about this a lot also, and you bang him up, and it's our boy Jacob DeGrom. And, you know, I have to be honest now, I appreciated the article from John Heyman. I appreciated what DeGrom said. I still think there was more of a chance, or he had more of a thought about leaving than he's letting on. And the reason why I feel that way is because, listen, we can argue about it. I don't want to argue about what the offer was from the Mets. We can argue about whether it was fair or not. But if you really wanted to come back, and like I said, I've said before, that's a perfect example right here in town, across town, with the Yankees and Aaron Judge. People said the Yankees disrespected him. The guy really wanted to go back to the Yankees. He went back to the Yankees and gave him a chance to give him the last offer. DeGrom was not willing to do that. As soon as he was offered something and he saw a place that he felt maybe he could be comfortable at, he decided to leave. So he can tell me that he really wanted to come back and there was no thought of that. No. There was a thought.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know my take on this. We are in agreement where if he really wanted to be in New York, he would have done different things to show that he really wanted to be in New York. And I'm also not blaming him for taking the most money, but just don't tell me that he wanted to be in New York He didn't. What he said was, and maybe the most notable thing coming from his exclusive with John Heyman in the Post, the most notable thing might have been that he admitted or at least said that the old contract that he signed with the Mets, that it didn't bother him. It was ultimately his decision to sign it. And that was a storyline by many people. It was very public while he was here that he was unhappy. I'm not even sure I believe what he's saying, because why wouldn't he just come out and say what he said to Heyman yesterday or whenever he said it? Why wouldn't he say that when he was here and say that I'm not mad at the contract? Why do you guys keep saying that? I don't believe he was happy with the contract. So he could come out now and say, oh, that didn't bother me. It was ultimately my decision to sign it. Yeah, it was your decision to sign it. Doesn't mean you were happy about it.
No, but I think he did. Maybe not towards the end. He didn't talk about that specifically. But I think throughout, before that, I think he said he was content with the contract and, you know, he signed it and he didn't have a problem with it. I thought I heard him say that before. So I'm not going to hold him too much to that. I do appreciate him saying that because I never thought that, you know, first of all, I didn't think it would be fair for him to feel like he was underpaid because you were paid handsomely at that time. Now, a year or two later, that, you know, you're going out and keep winning Cy Youngs and doing what you're doing. Does it seem like you're being underpaid? And we see all the other contracts that were given out. Yes, but unfortunately, that wasn't the time that you signed your contract. And then you throw on top of it that you barely pitched through that contract. Oh, come on. How
it's just there weren't great like opening, opened up quotes from DeGrom in this article. I didn't read that coming away saying, wow, I either feel bad for him or I don't like him. It was never that. He gave kind of standard stuff, but basically just said It was never like, oh, I'm out of here. He made it sound like it was never like I'm 100% leaving New York. There were times where I thought I was going to come back, which I kind of knew. I mean, we kind of got that sense where he was open to coming back if the deal was right. It wasn't like he wanted to be here. DeGrom's like a robot at times. No emotion, which sometimes is a good thing about him. And yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't know. Bottom line is he's gone. Wish him the best. It sucks, Hector, because if DeGrom is what he was in 2018, 2019, you wish you would have that guy. It was the best pitcher that we've seen in a Mets uniform in our lifetime, so you wish you would have that guy, but we don't know if he's going to be that pitcher ever again, and you know what? Ultimately, they didn't want him enough, he didn't want to be here, and it's over.
No. I guess for me, for someone who's been so hard with him, and some people will say a jerk about the whole DeGrom thing, I just appreciated the comments. I will say I am surprised because he never struck me as someone who would just go for the money. And in some aspects, it seems like he just went for the money. And of course, comfort. He did find comfort in Texas. Or what he thinks is comfort, he'll see if it's what he thought it was going to be in the next 5 years or so. But, you know, we'll see. But if I may, it's been a long time. Thanks for having me on here, and I appreciate it. I do want to
What's your last thing? Yeah, go ahead, get to it.
Just the rules, Sal. I mean, and I don't know where you stand on it too much, because I didn't get your take on it too much. But for me, I'm just going in there with an open mind, right? There's some that I don't like too much. There's some that I'm okay with. I guess the two biggest, hottest ones are the throwing over or stepping off the mound. That one is the one that strikes me like, oof, I'm not sure I like this too much. But I don't think it's as crazy as people think. In the sense that, as soon as the guy steps off twice or throws over twice, then the runner's going to have a free range to just take a huge lead and walk over to second base. Like, no. Because if you take a reckless lead, you still risk the getting picked off, and if they're successful picking you off, you're out. You know what I'm saying? It's only if they're unsuccessful on that third attempt where you get the base. So that's that rule. But the whole pitch clock thing, Sal, man, listen. I'm looking forward to it. I really am looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to take... I know it's not taking any baseball away, right? You say, why are you taking the game away from me? I love the game. No, they're not taking the game away from you. And I've heard a few people say, which I'm glad, because I feel like I've been arguing most of you people about, like, I'm the only one that actually embraces this thing. They're taking away all the stupid dead time. You know what I'm saying? All the guys playing with the batting gloves. You know what I'm saying? The guy on the pitcher's mound just getting off for no reason and just messing around, wasting time. Like, no, I don't need to see that. There's many times where I'm watching a game and I'm upset by this stuff. And I'm saying, come on, let's pick it up. Let's go. Like, what are we doing here? So I look forward to that being taken away and just seeing more action. It's bad enough. Like, a lot of people like to compare it to football and say, well, you know, football games are also 3+ hours and nobody complains about that. Well, that's because when the ball is in play in football, there's usually action. For baseball,
there's a lot of downtime in football too when you actually think about it. And thank you for the call, Hector. As always, appreciate you checking in. Sorry to cut you off there, but we've expired here. It's time to let you go. With baseball, that was kind of the point I was making earlier. There's not enough action after the pitch is thrown. There's no guarantee. Okay, let's ball outside. Well, now what? Now it's another minute before there's potentially some action. Ball inside or strike one. Okay, now there's another. So now, instead of however long it would take, I don't know what it was, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Now you know that with nobody on, 15 seconds, that's it. Every 15 seconds, let's go, keep it moving. Something's bound to happen at some point soon. It keeps your attention focused, that clock does. Keeps your attention on what's happening as opposed to, hey, I could go do something else or just kind of like lose attention, look at your phone, whatever the hell you're doing. In between pitches, and then only look up when you actually hear the announcer say, and, you know, there's a drive or whatever, when the ball's put in play. I think this is going to be much better for the game. It's unfortunate we got to a point where we've gotten to a point where we needed to put these rules in place to make the game what it used to be without these rules forcing that style of play. But regardless, we're here, and now the rules are in place, and I do think the sport will benefit, and watching the game will be more enjoyable because of all these rules.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The boss, George Steinbrenner, who passed away earlier today at the age of 80. And as a Met fan, I was always envious of the Yankees because of Steinbrenner, who I have nothing but tremendous respect for.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Got it back on The Fan. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Going on 5 a.m. The warm-up show with Al and Jerry. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's up?
How are you, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? Hey, real quickly, Stewart's the best, man. when you're not there, though, when he calls other people, obviously when you're out, he talks sports. I'm like, who is this guy? And then when he when he calls you, you just get into, like, the... You're like the psychologist of Stewart. You get into, you know, Rihanna feeding you bacon, how many kills you got under your belt today. Like, this guy, you get into all the details, dark and good stuff.
He entertains me, man. You know what's funny is he tries to talk sports with me. I just don't want to have it. So, I mean, sometimes we do, but I like the other stuff better at times with him.
You need to bring him in, like, at the end of the week on a Friday, like you do with an interview. Let him have, like, a segment where you can just talk about what's been going on in your life this week, and bring up other things. Let them just go on. Because it's just hilarious.
He is funny.
Real quick, let's bring up that Rocky stuff. Cause I know I told you a while ago where I was watching the marathon. Remember I told you my wife was watching, she was 5, and like, she never saw the rest? And
I said
they weren't on. But last week they were on, and I think she caught 3 and 4 with me. And she was into it, the storylines, but since she didn't like the fight, she's like, what is this fake stuff going on? He's not even hitting his face.
That is true. I will agree with you there. The worst parts of Rocky is the fighting scenes. Those are the worst by far.
Yeah, but the she liked the movies, the storyline, just everything else was good. And then I told you that I didn't watch Balboa, and you're like, you have to watch Balboa. Well, Sal, my wife was working days. I was home just laying down, just watching things. I put on Balboa, and I was highly disappointed with this movie. It was
disappointed.
Bad. It was horrible.
What? Man. Are you out of your mind?
I didn't
we
like
can
it.
No longer be friends.
I did not like it because he was too old, and it was just. And I saw that he directed and wrote it. I just don't think he did a good job with that. It just didn't. It was okay, but it was just. I don't know. I was just disappointed in just the.
Oh, come on! The storyline with his son.
I didn't like what they did with Adrian in the beginning. I thought she was really not around, and she was. So I don't know if there was an issue getting her on. I don't know if he planned doing that. I think I read that. I tried to Google some things about it, that they cut her out of it. I don't know why. That she was originally a part of the script. If she's around, you know, I don't want to blow it for Manny over here, but why wasn't she in the movie? You know?
Yeah.
And I didn't like
that. I mean, that's just the difference. I didn't mind where the storyline went with that. Remember, it was years later, too, where he finally came back after Rocky V and then wrote that. I thought it was great. As a matter of fact, I ranked that high. I love that movie. I think Balboa was highly underrated. I'm very disappointed in you, Chris.
I did not like it. Like, even my wife was really liking Rocky IV, the way he was training, going to, you know, to Russia and all that stuff. She was really liking all that stuff.
Yeah, and, I'm sure.
But this one was horrible, man. It's just, I don't know. I couldn't even watch it straight through, so I haven't, you know, I had paused it on DVR and just kept, you know, going back and forth in the living room a little bit, come back, but
your loss.
I don't know if I can watch it again. Like, I can watch 1 through 5 all over. I've been watching it. I watched it for years. I don't know if I can watch it again. That's how bad it was. Even the Champ Dixon, he just wasn't even acting good or anything. It was just seemed too. Just too fake, man. It was just not good.
All right, what else you got for me?
It was horrible. So I don't know. I like to talk about Rocky and stuff. I got to talk about sports. I won't be like Stewart.
No, you don't have to. I thought you did want to talk about something else. We can
real quick. Yeah, the thing about I don't know the pitch clock thing is good. I don't like how it takes too long with that. But the Ghost Runner thing, I never liked it, and it's the reason why they don't put it in the playoffs. Because I have the MLB network where I'm watching other games, and it's too many instances where it just ends it ends right in the 10th. And what I don't like about it is if you're going to put the fake runner on base, like it go either team, right? You could have your top of the line, and it's just the luck of the draw. You could have, you know, your top of the lineup coming up for your team or whoever's team, and then the other team could have, like, the worst players at the bottom of their lineup or whatever, and it could just end on a base hit. Like, if they're going to make it with this fake run on second base, then why they should have it where it all shuffles up, where, okay, you know, start with your best three hitters or whatever you want to do for the game. I don't like it in general. That's why they don't use it in the playoffs. But if something like that, like, you're going to have, like, you know, you're going to have your best hitters up, even or say at the top of the 10th, you have some of the team has their worst hitters up, and then they can't get no way in. And then, boom, the next team has the best three hitters up. All they got to do is get one base hit, and it scores there. At least, if anything, put a guy on first. Would at least have to work with it to get the guy over. Because you can have, you know, basically a guy on second, you can get, you know, move the guy to third with a ground out, and then boom, you have one out.
Right, but it's like that for both teams, though, Chris. It's like, and thank you for the call. It's like that for both teams. Appreciate you checking in, as always. I cannot believe that you didn't like Rocky Balboa. Manny, do not let that ruin your opinion. Go watch those movies. Trust me. Balboa is a good movie.
It didn't sound like a resounding comment.
Yeah, well, whose word are you going to take? Mine or Chris? I mean, come on, Manny.
You bring up a good point.
I'm the Rocky expert.
I'm sorry.
I'm the professional. But with the runner on second, I think people are... Like, it's not ruining the game. It only impacts a handful of games that go into extra innings. And it's also equal playing field. Each team has an opportunity with a runner at second base to start the inning. Like, it doesn't matter where you're at in the batting order. And I don't want to... While there are certain things that are intriguing about the idea of, okay, well, you could send up whatever hitters that you want there. Yeah, that sounds fun. It sounds video game-ish or whatever, but now you're going way off the beaten path. The whole point of having that runner placed at second base is to expedite the result of the game for many reasons. One, because you don't want to overuse all the pitchers. Two, because you don't want a game taking forever with nothing happening. You know, three, you're adding legitimate intrigue and interest right away. There's drama. The comparisons are to the 3-on-3 overtime in hockey or the shootout. I mean, it's fine for the regular season. It's a lot of games, 162 games in baseball's regular season. That's a lot. We're going to go nuts over a few of them in extra innings that have that, you know, that have that runner placed there and are going to decide the game. It's not like there's a clear disadvantage for one side. Each team gets the opportunity. The one thing that we've seen in recent years, and it was only the pandemic, that I absolutely hated with all my heart, and I would never accept it under any circumstances, were 7-inning games. Unacceptable. Hated it. And there were a lot of people who backed it. Oh, this is the way. This is great. It makes every inning more interesting. I mean, why play the games then? Why not just play 3-inning games and call it a night? And the problem that you have is the people who are reporting on this stuff don't want to be there all night. I'm telling you that firsthand. I know it for a fact. These writers, these broadcasters, these media members that are there covering these games want the games to end so they can go home. So, and I'm not blaming them, but take it with a grain of salt where you're hearing this or reading about it. There's a difference between wanting the game to end so you could go home and having the game more exciting. And I think the new rule changes now make the game more exciting. Doesn't necessarily speed up the time in which the total game is played. We don't know. We'll find out. But it definitely speeds up the pace of the play, which should make the game more exciting. And then obviously you throw in that extra inning rule. Yeah, well, that makes it more exciting and intriguing too. You watch extra innings, all of a sudden you know a guy's at second base. You're not leaving. You're watching. If there's nothing doing, yeah, maybe you flip the game off for a little bit. Maybe you go do something else or just have it on. But when a guy's in scoring position, immediately you're sitting down watching it. You know, dinner can wait for a little bit.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show. Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.